We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
The people's favorite. And welcome to the game, which is like playing Scrabble without using the letters of the alphabet. Two teams, as always. Firstly, for the gentlemen, Barry Cryer and Graham Darden. And for the ladies, Timbrook Taylor and Willie Rushton. And we go into our first round, which is the familiar one called Blues. For this round, each team will give the other the topic for a blues, which they must then improvise, accompanied, of course, by Colin Sell at the piano. Now, Tim and Willie, will you give Graham and Barry their subject for a blues, please?
The That's Life Blues.
Woke up this morning, felt in the mood for a bit of dancing.
That's a rhyme.
I got out of my bed and I hardly put my pants on.
On my legs, that is.
Went over the piano and opened the lid, but when I looked inside, the keyboard reminded me of Esther Ranson.
Time to get three marks for that. And Tim and Willie, you're going to sing a blues. Now, will Graham and Barry, will you give them the subject, please?
The Euro Parliament.
European.
Or ancillary subjects. European Parliament.
European Parliament blues.
European Parliament blues.
That's it.
That's the kiddo.
That's already been sung, I think.
In that case, it'll be easier for you.
To the Bee Gees version.
I woke up this morning. Always do, but never quite sure where. I was thinking about the European Parliament. Am I the only one to care?
Oh, I think I am.
The only bit of legislation to get through so far is a change in the rules of Je Sans Frontier. It's a knockout.
That's 8 marks minus 5 for the French pronunciation, which brings you down to 3 and level pegging. Now, here's where I introduce a round that's played at the end of the program to give the teams time to think of silly names for people arriving at the estate agent's ball.
Nothing funny about estate agents.
All right, teams, you got that? So let's go on to a round which is called paranoia. In this one, Team A decides that there is something wrong with Team B, and Team B have to guess what's wrong with themselves by asking questions while Team A reply in a manner appropriate to Team B's affliction. And the aim is to make the members of Team B paranoid and to leave the studio twitching.
Set February, which is 29.
William and Tim, you have an affliction unknown to yourselves, which you have to find out by questioning Graham and Barry.
Willie and Tim are both wearing wigs.
Do we both suffer from this affliction?
Oh, I don't. I think affliction is affliction, taking it. I think you're being a bit paranoid about that.
We've got inferiority complexes.
No.
Why no?
Why should you?
There's nothing.
We are inferior.
There's no shame.
You're ahead of the field. I didn't mean that. No.
What did you say?
No,
nothing
to be ashamed of at all.
Speaking off the top of my head. Yeah. I didn't mean that. Speaking out of turn.
Is one of us balding?
No. Well, not from where I'm sitting, I can tell you that. Right. No,
luxuriant, natural appearing locks.
Exactly.
We do not have wigs.
We'd never have guessed.
We go on now to you, Graham and Barry, who have a sad affliction, which you've got to find out about from Tim and Willie.
Graham and Barry both have weak bladders.
Right, Graham and Barry, will you start the questioning?
Yes, hope all the people at home saw the blackboard. Can you eat it?
No, I'm sorry. We were trying to be quick.
We're impatient.
Sorry, what was that, Barry?
We don't have a lot of time, is that?
No, we'll do our best.
We're forceful and dominant.
We go things quickly to their natural conclusion.
We'll fill in, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm sure we can...
We're drunk.
Carry on as normal.
Something to do with being fierce and intimidating.
Well, it could frighten some people.
Or is there some...
The audience are edging off.
Is there a medical connotation in this affliction?
You might take it to a doctor.
But what would he do with it?
He'd send it off to the laboratory.
Is this organic?
Yes.
Are you glad to be sitting several yards away from us?
Yes. We're trying to help you. We're being as quick as we can. It must be awful for you.
Oh, yes. It's nothing to do with that. Well, incontinence here, if anything.
It is your shame.
We'll give you the answer in a minute.
We wanted this round to be a quickie, actually.
You can stop crossing your legs, because I think you've got it.
I think you're near enough, don't you?
I think they're near enough.
Well, we have another round of those to go, because that's
it was with bladders work, by the way.
Yes. So let's go over now to Tim and Willie.
Willie and Tim are both new.
I've just had a flash that 50,000 people have switched their sets off. Now,
that's more.
Tim and Willie, will you start the questioning, please? Find out what's the matter with you.
Has it a sexual connotation? I live in hope.
Not in where we're in your case. No. In our opinion, no.
Is there anything to do with, I don't know how to pronounce it, machismo?
No.
You keep your machismo out of this money.
Are you in any strange way jealous of it?
Not anymore, no.
And certainly not
we
in any strange way.
We used to have something, but we've lost it.
Not knowing what was there in the first place, I can't speak, really.
Oh, yes, you have lost something, in a sense, yes, yes.
In a sense, you have lost it.
Willie, you better ask a question, or they'll think you're trying to cover something up.
I see so much of you on this program.
Is it my basic hirsuteness again you're getting at, Professor?
Well, I won't be getting at it, but...
Long head. I'm shave my armpits.
I know.
Yes.
That's we've lost plain. We've lost something. Have we lost our... youth?
You will at this rate.
I think it's fair to say it's something more material than that.
Yes.
We've lost our wallet.
Among other things, yes.
Well, if you haven't, I don't know where you're keeping them.
To put this tastefully, would we be safe serving the drinks in a harem?
No. You possibly, yes.
Apart from that, I mean, in this game.
Nor would you be safe frying sausages in a nudist colony, but there you go.
And it doesn't have a sexual connotation.
Stay away from electric fans.
Is there a measurement involved?
A what?
A measurement.
No, they're not going to get it.
They're not.
So you better tell them what they are.
You're nude.
No, we're not.
No.
It's those X-ray glasses you've got on again.
Always the last
thing. Just to hedge off any further argument, let's go quickly on to Graham and Barry for your affliction now, which you've got to discover from Tim and Willie. Meanwhile, the studio audience is being informed, as I hope are you at home.
Graham and Barry both have a fatal fascination for BBC commissionaires.
Start questioning, please, Graham. Or Barry.
Well, what's the matter with us, then?
Nobody else has got it that I know of.
It's a minority thing, really, is it?
I think so.
Yes.
Are we?
It is.
Minority thing.
Are we liberal in any way?
Immensely.
There's no sexual connotation with this.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We think so. We like it. It's not just platonic. We don't know it.
Could be the uniforms. But
look, can you... Look, could you just keep your eyes on here and stop looking at the back of the...
I wasn't.
Look, yeah.
Is it something to do with our lovable producer?
I'm not sure he's into it entirely. It's quite easier for him. He sees more of them.
Yes.
He sees more of them.
Well, more than them, do you think?
Oh, I would say so, day by day, yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Is it something to do with being obsequious?
Well, they can do it in occasionally, but they can turn nasty, can't they?
They can. I think they're a fine breed of men. Now, stop looking at the back.
It's nothing to do with the Corps of Commissionaires.
Yes.
Oh!
Ah,
it is.
The commissioner's clapping there and misled us.
We haven't got there yet.
No, we're not.
We're not suffering from commissionaires.
You're certainly not suffering.
We are commissioners' pets.
I think that's close enough.
I think that's close enough, yes.
Yes. You have a fatal...
What enormous screed was written on the blackboard?
Tell them, Tim.
You have a fatal fascination for BBC commissionaires.
Ah, who doesn't?
I do too, and I want to get into the car park.
And having won that round, we'll go on to the next one. Now, here's one which promises to be a firm favourite. And it's called Tug of War. And it's quite simple. It's a simple trial of physical strength. We have a rope, a grubby handkerchief tied to the middle of it. The teams will come out into the middle of the arena here. Willie Ruston and Tim Brooke-Taylor. Who'll be supported by the audience on the right of the theatre here. And Barry Pryor and Graham Gardner. Colin Sell will play appropriate music. Willie Ruston is the anchor man for his team. Barry Cryer, they're squabbling over the rope at the moment. Line the handkerchief up, please, to the microphones there. Line the handkerchief up, a little bit to the right. Give way a little bit, Barry, Tim and Willie. Right, hold it. Take the strain.
Right.
Now, heave!
It's a carpet, Barry.
Those of you listening at home, as you realize, that was won by Tim Brooke-Taylor and Willie Ruston.
Let those cows in.
We go on to a round called Double Feature. This round takes as its premise the poverty of the international film industry. For economic reasons, new films will have to be remakes of pairs of old films. I want you to hear the resulting titles, and I shall award points for anything approaching humour.
Cautiously.
Right, Barry, will you start, please?
Well, I've just had a whisper that I'm feeling better now. There's a plan to combine Hair and Dry Rot, new film called Dandruff.
Tim?
Well, the makers of Texas Chainsaw Massacre have got together... they've got together...
Smooth-talking devil.
Would you like to start again, Tim?
The makers of Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Animal Farm have got together to produce bacon at 30p a pound.
It's almost worth waiting for. Now, Graham. Graham?
What? A multimedia triple bill.
Film,
stage and television. They're remaking Von Ryan's Express, Evita, and Chalk and Cheese to make Von Ryvita and Cheese.
Right, Willie, see if you can improve on that.
Well, it's a very old movie called My Darling Clementine, which they're tying into the Kentucky Fried movie and producing the Clement Fried story.
Well, clearly Tim and Willie have won that one on acclaim from the audience. Now then, if I can find them, we have tag wrestling now. And tag wrestling means that I'm going to give you each a payoff of a story, and I shall then start one team off telling the story to fit that particular punchline. And when I feel like I'll press the button, a member from the opposing team will have to take up the story working towards their punchline. And I needn't tell you that both punchlines are different. Barry and Graham, your punchline is, quote, "This ferret has been doctored," unquote. Screamed the chiropodist. All right? And Tim and Willie, your punchline is, "Amazing what you find in a toad in the hole."
chuckled Disraeli. All right. You've had longest to think, Barry and Graham, so if you'll start your story working towards your punchline.
The nation mourned the death of Disraeli that year. As Arnold Tribble and Freddy the foot-shaped ferret strode down the road to a chiropodist, Arnold's foot had been causing him some pain, and he was taking a corn to be pared, and he couldn't help remarking on the amount of buzzers in the air that time.
And the pain was so exquisite, he turned to Freddy and said, How can I take my mind off this terrible pain? And Freddy said, well, think about something else. Think about what the whole nation is thinking about. Think about, for example, Disraeli, because we're all mourning about Disraeli. And he thought about Disraeli. He thought about Disraeli at supper time. And Disraeli, in the evening, would sit down. Was Disraeli the one that chewed everything 140,000 times?
Gladstone.
It was very close, wasn't it?
A challenge there from Graham Brown.
No, Tim's wrong. Disraeli chewed Gladstone 144 times.
Bonus mark. Carry on, Tim.
And his special favourite food, of course, was toad in the hole.
Then he thought, I'm just being morbid thinking about the past and Disraeli. I must banish this from my mind forever. Must rush down to chiropodists. I've got your first bit now. Oh dear.
He's got a foot-shaped ferret.
Yeah, with my foot-shaped ferret.
It could easily be mistaken for a foot.
The vet is out, and the ferret can be mistaken for a foot, so the chiropodist is an obvious Johnny to go to.
The chiropodist felt he had to cheer them up in some way prior to attending to this corn, or veruca, which I'd never been able to play.
Not well.
So he said, you know, all the gossip at the moment, he said, about Disraeli. He said, I've got a bit of a scoop here. I was actually dealing with his feet at the moment he pipped it. And I heard his last words. Rang out from the bed as I dug the knife into his foot.
God, how I wish I could remember them. Now, what's your trouble, Squire? Well, Arnold said, it's the corn on my foot. And the chiropodist didn't like to say anything when he looked down and apparently saw 3 feet. And while he was thinking about it,
he suddenly remembered what he had forgotten earlier.
But discarding it swiftly. He said to the chiropodist, I didn't still... Oh!
I hope my mouth the buzzer will go, he said.
Pay no attention, he said, to the invasion of the buzzer at this time of year, regular as clockwork. Buzz, buzz, buzz they go, and we pay them no heed. No attention to we pay them buzzers.
With a name like Arnold Tribble, what hope can you get from me, said the chiropodist. Which reminds me about Disraeli, who was the name of a small animal that had been brought in earlier. Why did I bring in an animal? Oh, yes, because the ferret, who had an owner called Disraeli. And Disraeli also had a toad. And, wait a minute, I was just getting a connection between chiropodists and...
So there they were in the chiropodists, all these assembled characters. I'm sure you remember them very well. And Arnold presented this foot-shaped ferret to the chiropodist, who reacted in horror. This ferret has been tucked between the chiropodist.
Yeah, give him
even
a round.
Even I agree with that. No, I agree.
I'll tell you what we'll do, to be absolutely
too
fair.
Too good.
We'll give half a point to Barry for half finishing his story, mumbling it, and we'll go pass it on to Willie to see if he has any further comments.
Amazing what you find in a toad in a hole, said Disraeli on his deathbed.
And it's a draw. That one's a draw, and we have a game now, a new game called Telegrams. And quite simply, the teams are asked to send telegrams for unlikely occasions. I think in the interest of order, we'll do this one person at a time. So send your telegram for an unlikely occasion, please. Graham Garden.
I did send one to Yul Brynner after he opened in The King and I, saying, congratulations, it'll be a smash as soon as the wig arrives.
Tim?
Well, speaking of opening nights, in the olden days, chastity belts, and the Crusades, a knight coming back from the Crusades, I would have sent a telegram saying, best of luck on the opening night. Please.
Barry.
This is factual. This is a telegram that was sent to Moses. It was found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. It arrived a bit late. It said, "You left your flippers in the Red Sea. Please contact lifeguard." And I'd like to have sent one to Nelson saying, "Good luck at Trafalgar. I'll keep an eye out for you."
Well, it's harmless.
Send one of dubious taste to Rod Stewart on his marriage. May all your troubles be enormous, but I'm not going to... I'm going to send one instead to Joan Collins, which reads, "Stop, stop, 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 stop."
Any advance on that?
Can I also send one to Richard III saying, "Sorry, Dick, no can do, would you settle for two donkeys?"
Any more from your side?
No. I'd like to send one to the Archduke Ferdinand saying, "Have good holes in Sarajevo." Recommend the drives.
Abraham Lincoln saying the second half isn't as good as the first.
I'd like to send one to Neville Chamberlain before he was going to Munich saying, "All the best, tell him he's bonkers."
Send one to General Custer saying, "Best of luck at Little Bighorn, it'll be a feather in your cap."
Now then, we go on to the game that everybody knows from their childhood days, Mornington Crescent. And this time, teams, we have to bring in one of the special rules, and that is that anti-clockwise moves are penalised. Which has brought Barry to a halt already. Will you start off, Barry?
How severely, Hump?
All right. I can do a motorway to start this. The M4.
Well, you can now. Yeah.
Yes.
Pudding Lane.
Turnham Green.
Wish I could.
I just did.
Kensington High Street.
Mornington Crescent.
Yes.
Oh. Wait a minute.
Ready.
Hang about. Yes. Clockwise. Come on.
Started with a motorway.
The five penalties which you incurred for one move anti-clockwise, which I won't bother to tell you about because you know it. You're the winners of that one.
Quite right. And
I don't think that's right, actually. I should turn them.
M4 started, yes.
Yeah, but it's clock. All right.
Oh.
I expect they'll edit this out anyway.
Teams, this is where we go on now, and I ask you to do your introductions for the arrivals at the estate agent's ball, please. Who's going to start?
Oh, there's the lovely May Sonnet.
Style residences. Their son, Georgian style residence.
I've just written down the hermaphrodite child, George Ann residence.
And closely related, the Irable residence family and their son, Des Irable residence.
Oh, here come the Dings family.
The what?
The Dings family with their black sheep son who is on parole. He's the condemned Bill Dings.
Well, I think I'll stay with Mr. and Mrs. Souse and their two kids who are with us, Terry Souse and Muriel, known to us all as Mew Souse.
I've got our Terence House, which I was very fond of. I'll throw in semi-detached now. Well,
sharing a Foster's with our visitor from Australia, Lou Outback.
And while in ethnic mood, we could have Chief Sitting Tenant.
Also from abroad, the Onassis family and their bronzed daughter, sun-drenched Patty O.
Very good.
It's Andy for the shops.
With at least half a million to spend in the Hampstead area, the Zonely Need Apply, with their son A. Rab, Zonely Need Apply.
Slightly up a crust touch here, Lord's View of the Gasworks, and their daughter Gloria's View of the Gasworks.
Oh, there's Gus Humpin.
So he is.
Might be a trick of the light, but I think it was him.
I tell you who he's doing it with. Superbly modernised.
Over there, Mr. and Mrs. Twing and their son, Wes Twing.
Oh, and here comes Sir Alec Douglas Hume, who loses a little in the pronunciation.
Suspend, if you will, your contempt to welcome Mr. and Mrs. Stewart and Fittings and their son Vic Stewart and Fittings.
Conveyancing?
No, no. And it's a draw. That's all for this week. We'll see you again next week. Bye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Pembroke Taylor and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Geoffrey Perkins.